Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 83 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Arlo Barnett.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
Our recommendation was suspending the HRA and reducing the HSA contribution.
The head of MSU's healthcare task force today recommended changes that would take a chunk out of employee benefits.
The Raceland-Worthington School District is laying off several staff members due to a drop in enrollment.
Vanceburg City Council is considering implementation of a 5% alcohol tax.
A body found in the Moorhead Walmart parking lot this morning has been identified.
And some Lexington restaurant employees burned the olive branch last night.
In sports, the Reds open a series with the Dodgers today.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Mostly clear skies tonight with lows around 57. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
The healthcare task force at Moorhead State University has recommended several changes to the Board of Regents, which would equate to a $2,000 loss in benefits for each employee. In a report during today's special meeting, Task Force Chair Howard Nally made some difficult recommendations. No action was taken, but it will be discussed during next month's regular meeting. One proposed change would be the elimination of the health reimbursement accounts and a 50% employer contribution reduction of the health savings account.
Employees are starting to really see the value of that. From the first year to the second year, we had about a 10% increase. Employees going from one plan to this plan. So there is quite a bit of benefit to this as far as to MSU, but it also talks about as far as what it means to be responsible, taking responsibility as far as health care.
The task force also recommended the board suspend the popular wellness incentive program, increase tobacco usage surcharge to $200, increase spousal surcharge to $150, increase employee contribution to insurance cost by 26%, and adjust the cost share ratio to 70-30. Nally says if approved, the changes would save the university around $1.6 million, which is the amount that MSU put into health care during the 2017-18 year.
Officials have identified the body of a 77-year-old Moorhead man found in a vehicle in the Moorhead Walmart parking lot this morning. Police were called to the store around 10 a.m. when the body of Roy Barker was found inside the man's van by a customer. Moorhead Police Captain Kyle Callahan says Barker arrived at the store around 10:30 p.m. on Wednesday evening, but never left his vehicle.
So the way that it stands right now is we don't suspect foul play, but it is a death investigation, and we're not for sure why. It could have been natural, but we're waiting for sure to get toxicology.
Callahan says Barker had a history of medical issues that could have led to his death.
Lexington police are investigating a stabbing that left three people injured at an Olive Garden last night. WKYT reports the conflict broke out between current and former employees of the restaurant at its Fayette Mall location around 10:30 p.m. Police say two people stabbed three others before fleeing. The victims were taken to the hospital with minor injuries. Olive Garden released a statement this morning describing the act as senseless and promising full cooperation with the Lexington Police Department. The suspected assailants are still on the run.
More details have been released in an Elliott County homicide, including the victim's name. According to WSAZ, 30-year-old Justin Node of Sandy Hook died from multiple gunshot wounds, says the county coroner. Node's body was found on Tuesday under the ledge of a waterfall by a man looking for mushrooms. Investigators say the body had been there a little less than a week. Node's family had filed a missing persons report on him. No arrests have been made at this time. Kentucky State Police in Moorhead are investigating.
Twin Scott County brothers are facing child pornography charges. According to WKYT, Attorney General Andy Beshear's office received information about Isis and Renee Cabrera from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and tipped off local authorities. Scott County Sheriff Tony Hampton says investigators found pornographic photos and videos of children on their cell phones. Hampton says his deputies arrested the 28-year-old twins at their home on Nancy Lane Tuesday night.
It's really sick, and there's zero tolerance for anything like this. And at the end of the day, it's all about solving these crimes and taking people like that off the street.
Isaias Cabrera is facing one count for possessing child porn, while Rene is facing 74 counts, one for each image found on his phone. Authorities are still investigating the case.
A former Hopkinsville police officer accused of offering a woman leniency in exchange for sex has pled guilty. Daniel Gray was charged with two counts of official misconduct for allegedly driving a woman to a hotel and having sex with her while she was in custody. Despite his guilty plea, Gray maintains he never actually had sex with the woman. Gray's attorney, Rick Bowling, says his client wanted to go to court.
By doing that, a jury verdict typically is not ever probated. Again, this resolution, I think, was an appropriate resolution.
The judge recommended a 12-month sentence to be probated, meaning Gray will be on probation for 2 years.
More than 4,000 AEP customers are without power in Ashland today. According to LEX18, AEP's website is reporting 5 outages throughout the city. They estimate power will be restored by 5 o'clock this evening. The cause of the outages is unknown.
A Moorhead area man says he's looking forward to a special judge deciding whether or not Kim Barker Tabor has the legal right to seek re-election as Rowan County's circuit clerk. Sam King filed a motion on Monday in Rowan Circuit Court claiming Barker Tabor has not lived in the county for the year required prior to a run for the office.
I know she hadn't lived here that long, you know. I didn't know how she could even run for the job, you know. But, I finally found out how to do it. You know, I know how to do it. Nobody's said they didn't have forms or nothing like that, so I had to get one made up and file it. So, you know, I think, you know, people deserve somebody honest in there, you know.
King says he has proof Barker Tabor doesn't meet the residency requirements to seek re-election, but refuses to disclose that information, saying he'll reveal it a week from tomorrow when a special judge hears the case in Rowan Circuit Court. Barker Tabor says while she and her husband do own property in Olive Hill, her family lives in Rowan County and she meets the electoral residency requirement.
We'll be right back with more local news after this quick break.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
The time is 4:38. You're with WMKY's Mountain Edition. I'm Arlo Barnett. A $2 million repaving project on Interstate 64 in Rowan County begins Monday. Kentucky Department of Highways District 9 spokesman Alan Blair says crews will be milling and replacing 4 miles of pavement on I-64 just east of Moorhead between the 137 exit and mile marker 142.
This work will take place mostly during May. It could go into June. The contractor has until June 30th to complete the work, but should only be paving for about 2 or 3 weeks. There will be no work during Memorial Day weekend. But, you know, we do expect work to take place throughout May and into early June. During that work, I-64 will be one lane between Moorhead and the rest areas, basically, on both directions.
Crews will be working 6 days a week. During construction, the speed limit through the work zone will be 55 miles an hour, and those caught speeding will face double fines when workers are on site.
The Vanceburg City Council discussed vacant homes and a possible alcohol tax at their most recent council meeting. WMKY's Brian Courtney has more.
Vanceburg Police Chief Joe Billman proposed establishing an alcohol tax, saying the city would receive 5% from its gross sales. The Ledger Independent reports Billman said the money would be used to fund the hiring of another officer. He noted the city of Russell used revenue from its alcohol tax to add a new police officer at a starting annual salary of $60,000. But Billman admitted he didn't know how the tax might affect sales of alcohol in Vanceburg. The council said their update would serve as a first reading and took no action on the matter. The council also discussed vacant properties. They appointed Officer Joe Paul Gilbert, Patty Kennard, and Michelle Roberts to review several dilapidated homes in town. The trio produced a list of 12 homes they believe should be looked at by a state-certified inspector chosen by the council. Reporting for WMKY, I'm Brian Courtney.
The Kentucky Department of Education is passing out grants of around $115,000 each to six school districts to help them further develop career readiness programs. KDE Associate Commissioner Laura Arnold says the awards come from the $2 million Kentucky recently received through the National New Skills for Youth Initiative, an effort funded by the investment banking firm J.P. Morgan. According to Arnold, the money will be spent on creating regional career academies that will provide accelerated opportunities for high school students.
When I say accelerated opportunities, referring to dual credit or certificate and credentials that could be obtained while in high school that could lead directly into a career or align with those post-secondary opportunities that are needed to get into a career.
Two of the regional career academies will be located in eastern Kentucky, one in Breathitt County, which will involve Morehead State University, the other at the Mason County Area Technology Center. The academies are expected to be operational in the 2018-19 academic year.
The director of the Mason County Public Library plans to retire this September. Valerie Zimter has been working at the MCPL for 12 years. She was originally a fine arts major in college, but decided several years later that she wanted to find something more fulfilling and rewarding. Nearly two and a half decades of working as a librarian, Zimter says she has some good retires to step down.
Well, I'm kind of old. Time. I'm at a point in my life where I do want to spend some time with my family and do some other things that I've put off. No specifics. My family is mostly on the East Coast, so I wanted to spend some time traveling there to spend some time with them. Then we'll see where it goes from there.
During her time at the Mason County Library, Zimter worked with the Board of Trustees to reach several goals, including strengthening the facility's relationship with the community and bridging the digital drive gap.
And due to state budget cuts and reciprocal enrollment agreements, staff members in the Raceland-Worthington school districts are taking a hit. WMKY's Kinsey Thompson reports.
Several staff members will be laid off by the end of the school year to cut costs. According to the Daily Independent, those laid off include Bill Farley, the Transportation and Athletic Director, Leanne McKenzie, Preschool Coordinator, and Ann Stevens, the Cultural Arts Coordinator. A custodial position and one of three district counseling positions will gradually be cut from the program as well. Lonnie Cook's position as the Instructional Leader / Assessment Coordinator will be eliminated, and he is expected to be relocated at the high school. In addition, three retiring teachers will be replaced by instructors taking lower salaries. The district is hoping this will close the $430,000 spending gap. Superintendent Larry Coldiron says this money is mainly due to drops in enrollment after changes were made to an agreement with Greenup County. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Kinsey Thompson.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area tonight, mostly clear skies with lows around 60 degrees. On Friday, mostly sunny with highs near 87. Friday night, partly cloudy, lows around 69. On Saturday, mostly sunny skies with a high near 86, some wind gusts as high as 15 miles per hour. On Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 67. And on Sunday, mostly sunny, highs near 86 and lows around 67. Looking at temperatures around the region, it's currently 84 degrees in Ashland and Lexington. It's 82 degrees in Mount Sterling and Inez. It's 80 degrees in Flemingsburg, and it's 83 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
The time is 4:44, and you're joining Mountain Edition here on Morehead State Public Radio. It's the Barnett Show. She's Ellen, and I'm Arlo, and we're glad you're with us on this Thursday afternoon. On our feature segment, a Montgomery County woman hopes to raise awareness about a disorder that affects her son. WMKY's Leanne Akers has the story.
Neurofibromatosis is a genetic disorder that affects around 1 in 3,000 births. I think it's like 120,000 people in the United States alone. And it is a mutation on the NF gene, and the NF gene is responsible for producing neurofibromin, and that helps slow tumor growth.
LaShannon Spencer is a full-time mother. Her son, Owen, is just 3 years old, and he suffers from NF. That means constant observation, therapy, and doctor visits. Spencer is working to raise awareness about the disorder that can cause tumors to grow throughout Owen's body.
Usually, it's in the form of optic gliomas, which are little tumors behind the eye. The tumors typically grow on nerve sheaths throughout the body, so they can be very painful.
The disorder can manifest in a variety of ways, including small cafe au lait spots on the skin, all the way to tumors that become cancerous.
A whole host of developmental delays, ADHD, lots of autism, tumors that grow on the skin that are very visible and can become very disfiguring. Bowing of the tibias, clubfoot is something that they found that is very common in kids who have NF. No case is the same, so when you're diagnosed with it, they literally say, well, we can't tell you what will happen, we can just tell you what could happen, and basically we just wait and see.
Spencer says Owen has developmental delays that can sometimes overwhelm him.
The typical things like scribbling with a crayon that other kids can do his age and have been able to do, Owen can't do. Just stringing a couple words together is something that he can't do. He can't jump with both feet in the air like most three-year-olds can do. It's little things.
Spencer says many parents have to be an advocate for proper care for their children before they can even get a proper diagnosis.
There's a huge amount of the medical community who literally know nothing about NF. You have to find a doctor that is either well-educated, willing to do their own research, or someone who you can hand them information and be like, I need you to read this.
The family is organizing a poker run in Mount Sterling on May 19th to raise money for the Children's Tumor Foundation.
If you are interested in learning more or just want to look up, or even if you just want to donate, ctf.org is the place I recommend anybody go. You get more negative stuff when you just Google it. Like, if you Google neurofibromatosis, it's more of the worst case scenarios.
To register to participate in the poker run or for more information, call 859-585-1784. For WMKY News, I'm Leanne Akers.
The time is almost 4:48. You're tuned in to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. Braxton Howard has a look of sports for you in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers, and fax machines. DVDs, CDs, phones, videotapes, and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
The Reds visit LA. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds open a series with the Dodgers tonight at 10:10 in Los Angeles. Left fielder Adam Duvall's walk-off homer in the 10th inning yesterday gave the Reds a 2-1 victory over the Mets in the rubber game of their three-game series at Great American Ballpark. Afterwards, Duvall told Fox Sports Ohio he hopes that finally winning a home series will get Cincinnati rolling.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the goal is to win the series. So, you know, winning 2 out of 3 there, that's good. And, you know, we'll go out west and try to win some there.
Southern California native Tyler Malley will pitch tonight for the Reds, with Walker Buehler going for L.A. The Moorhead State baseball team will be on the road tomorrow evening at 7 to start a weekend OVC series at Murray State. At 16-8 in conference with 6 league games left to play, Coach Mike McGuire and his Eagles are still looking to lock down the second place in the standings. They're just percentage points ahead of Austin Peay and only one game in front of Eastern Kentucky and Southeast Missouri.
For us to win the tournament, whether we're the second seed, whether we're the fourth seed, or whether we're the sixth seed, or anywhere in between, is not going to determine whether we win it or not. Obviously, getting there and playing well that week, but certainly there are advantages of being the second seed, and so, you know, we're going to fight to the end and hopefully get that.
Murray is just 22-25 overall with an OVC mark of 9-15. However, the Racers have won 5 of their last 7 games. Facing being knocked out of the double elimination tournament, Morehead State tonight plays its second game in the OVC softball tournament. The Eagles face Southeast Missouri State at 6:30 after losing their opener yesterday to top-seeded Eastern Kentucky 2-1. Coach David Williams' MSU team had its chances against Eastern, leaving 11 runners stranded. He says that's something that can't happen against SEMO.
You know, we just need to get some of those clutch hits with those runners in position and execute. But if we play with that focus and energy tomorrow, I think we'll be okay.
Southeast Missouri beat MSU twice during the regular season by scores of 2-0 and 4-1. Members of the Knight Commission on Intercollegiate Athletics are calling for widespread reform of the NCAA. Using the recent report from the NCAA's Commission on College Basketball as a catalyst, the group urged university leaders to make changes to the NCAA governance, starting with allowing players to profit from their name, images, and likeness. Donald Remy is the chief legal officer for the NCAA, and he admits those changes could be coming.
If you look at the NCAA's decision-making over time, you'll see that there is a common-sense application to the rules underway, a recognition of the changing in the times of the activities and actions of the millennial. We've attempted through our processes to find a way to allow student athletes to engage in the behavior that all other students engage in, and at the same time to stay true to the structure that we have.
Condoleezza Rice, who heads the NCAA's Commission on College Basketball, said in a report 2 weeks ago that the commission did not believe athletes should be allowed to profit from their name, image, and likeness, but told USA Today this week that she has now changed her position. The Kentucky High School Athletic Association football realignment has now been approved. WMKY's Greg Jenkins has the details.
The KHSAA Board of Control approved the football district alignment for the 2019 through 2022 seasons on Wednesday, with many area schools on the move. Starting in 2019, Ashland, Russell, Greenup County, and East Carter will all move into Class 3A District 7. The Tomcats, Musketeers, and Raiders are all currently in a Class 4A district together. Boyd County and Rowan County will remain district mates and will share the Class 4A District 6 with Harrison County, Holmes, and Scott. Raceland, Paintsville, and Fairview remain in the same district, now joined by Betsy Lane in Class A, District 6. Fleming County and Lewis County are in Class 3A, District 6, with Mason County, Pendleton County, and Powell County. West Carter is moving down to Class A from 3, joining District 8 with Bath County, East Ridge, Prestonsburg, Shelby Valley, and Sheldon Clark. Morgan County is also moving down from 3 to 2A, District 7, with Breathitt County, Knox County Central, Leslie County, and Middlesboro. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
The Cincinnati Bengals start their rookie mini-camps tomorrow at Paul Brown Stadium. One area the Bengals are looking to settle down is their offensive line, where 3-year veteran Jake Fisher is hoping to earn a starting spot. However, Fisher says no matter who fills the 5 rows on Cincinnati's O-line, the primary objective remains the same.
I think our number one goal is to be number one in rush. I think coming out, that's a pretty substantial goal compared to where we were last year. Working hard and listen to our coaches and apply the techniques that he just has going for us.
Fisher got into just 8 games last season for the Bengals and has been on the team's reserve non-football injury list. Finally, in sports, some other notes from the NFL. After being let go by Kansas City Chiefs last season, free agent linebacker Derek Johnson is leaving the Midwest to play for an old adversary. The 13-year-old veteran has signed with the Oakland Raiders. Also, the Atlanta Falcons have signed 4 of their 6 draft picks, including their second-rounder, former Colorado cornerback Isaiah Oliver. And Pittsburgh has signed its 5th-round draft pick, running back Jalen Samuels, to a 4-year contract. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
For support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Baseball welcomes Western Carolina at 4 p.m. on Wednesday, May 16th. They will close out their regular season hosting Tennessee Tech for 3 games May 17th through the 19th. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The Dow Jones Industrials rose sharply, putting it on track for its 6th straight day of gains following the release of weaker-than-expected U.S. inflation data. And at the close, the Dow Industrials gained 197 at 24,739.53. The S&P 500 was up 25.28 at 2723.07. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 65.07, with the NASDAQ finishing at 7404.98. Healthcare and telecom both rose more than 1%, and technology shares aided the broader indices, with the sector rising about 1.2% as shares of Apple, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Alphabet all traded higher. Today in government, among the government reports coming out today, the Labor Department said that the Consumer Price Index rose 0.2% in April, and this was less than what had been expected by economists going into the report. The lighter-than-forecast number eased concerns about the Federal Reserve tightening monetary policy at a faster rate than the market is expecting. Treasury bond yields slipped from multi-year highs that were hit yesterday, with the 10-year note yield falling to 2.96% after breaking above 3% yesterday. And in corporate news, Booking Holdings dropped more than 5% after giving weaker-than-expected quarterly guidance. The company reported better-than-forecast earnings and revenue for the previous quarter. In the commodities markets, oil continued its rise, finishing with a gain of 0.3% at $71.40 a barrel. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were ExxonMobil and United Health, while the worst performer was Nike. In the S&P 500, the best performers were CenturyLink and Discovery Communications, and the worst performers were L Brands and Booking Holdings. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 48 cents at $74.65, CSX up 56 cents at $62.81, AEP up 75 cents at $67.02, Marathon Petroleum up 42 cents at $77.53, and AK Steel was up 7 cents, finishing at $4.45. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at morehedstate.edu/innovation.
Taking one last look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area tonight. Mostly clear skies with lows around 60 degrees on Friday. Mostly sunny, highs near 87. Partly cloudy on Friday night with lows around 69. On Saturday, mostly sunny, highs near 86. Some wind gusts as high as 15 miles per hour. On Saturday night, partly cloudy, lows around 67. On Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 86. On Sunday night, mostly sunny with a high near 86. On Monday, there's a 30% chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible in the afternoon. Otherwise, partly sunny with highs near 83. And there's a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms continuing into Monday night. Mostly cloudy. Otherwise, on Monday night with lows around 66 degrees. And on Tuesday, there's a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny. Highs near 84. Looking at temperatures around the region, it's currently 84 degrees in Ashland and Lexington. It's 82 degrees in Mount Sterling and Inez. It's 80 degrees in Flemingsburg, and it's sitting at 83 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Chuck Mraz, Jacob Lindberg, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Brian Courtney, Kenzie Thompson, Greg Jenkins, and Braxton Howard. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke brought us the stocks, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Leanne Akers. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSPR news team, I'm Arlo Barnett, signing off for the last time on Mountain Edition. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.